Today Shir's Masech Techul and Daf Kuf Tes. We will be in Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Tes, Amud Aleph, the fourth line, Amud Mar. In our previous Shir, both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, we had been focusing on a case where a drop of milk fell on a piece of meat. And the question is, when a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat, what is the status of that meat? Frankly, what is the status of all the meat in that pot? The Mishnah's approach was that piece of meat, under normal circumstances, become usur, and then it would affect the status of all the other meat in that pot, as we discussed in our previous year. Particularly, if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says, min b'minay, if two things are the same, they never become bottled. So we have one problematic piece of meat here, the piece of meat on which the milk fell, that would cause that all the meat in the pot should become usur because it doesn't become bottle. We then also learned the brisa at the end of our previous year, which had spoken about this very same case. And the brisa had quoted Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and the brisa taught us that under certain circumstances, Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and under certain circumstances, he agrees with the Chachamim. And the brisa said, Amamar, Divrei Chachamim, the opinion of the Chachamim that says that everything in the pot, even this piece of meat on which the drop of milk fell, are all mutter. He said it was speaking about a case, Kishni of a Kisa, when you immediately mixed all of the contents of the pot, or you immediately covered the pot, then Rebbe said that the halacha is that everything in the pot is mutter. Ask the Gemara, what is definition, my near or my kisa? What did Rebbe mean that in those circumstances he agrees with the Chachamim? Ilema, if you say near besoif, that after this piece of meat became usur, because the drop of milk fell on it, and then you mix up all the other pieces, but you had not mixed them up immediately when the drop of milk fell on the meat. Kislip soif, similarly, you covered the pot after a while, after the drop of milk fell on the meat, not v'loikisa betchila. Hamrit, says the Gemara, we learned in the same brisa, and we explained it in yesterday's shir, that near and dear Rebbe Yehuda Baha, that he says that we agree with Rebbe, and that and the Rebbe Yehuda's in that case, and that not only did we learn will the piece of meat will become usur, but as we said in our introductory remarks, all of the pieces of meat will become usur because it's min b'minayim. Says the Gemara Ella, what it means to Recham says shenir metchil v'atzoif, that you mixed it immediately throughout. And Kisa Metchil Atzoif was covered throughout. Actually, the Rishonim point out that it doesn't have to be that you mixed it the entire time or that remained covered the entire time. As long as this drop of milk fell on the piece of meat and you immediately mixed it up or you immediately covered the pot, that would be the halacha. And what the Bryce is trying to point out, that in this way, the opinion is different than Rabbi Yehuda, and that the Bryce said, near Rabbi Yehuda, b'shloi near b'shloi kisur. And when did Rabbi Yehuda say that? When you didn't cover at all, when you didn't mix at all. So here we use a similar type of language. That's the opinion of most Mefarshim. However, the Yamsha Shloima, the Maram Shif, I did see that the Rosh Yosef's opinion is that according to the Chachamim, in order to apply this leniency of the Chachamim, it's only going to be acceptable if you mixed it the entire time or remain covered the entire time. If it wasn't that way, then even though it was mixed at the beginning or covered at the beginning, according to them, the Gemara is saying that even according to the Chachamim, it would be inadequate. Mechlal, says the Gemara, isn't this an indication, the Rabbanan Savri, that what is Rebbe saying, points out the Gemara, that I agree with the Rabbanan if you mixed it from at the beginning to the end, But it means that the Rabbanon, it seems, are of the opinion that you don't even have to mix it at all. That even if you mixed it later, as long as at any point you mixed it, it would be enough. Mechlal points out the Gemara, based on the way we're learning now Pshat and the Gemara, the opinion of the Rabbanon would be that near b'soif or near b'tchila, if you mixed it at any point, kisa b'soif or kisa b'tchila, or you covered it at the end and not at the beginning, it would be enough. Why would that be the halacha? Goes back, says the Gemara, we go back to the concepts that we discussed in our previous year, the concept of efshel asachtoi, that if something becomes usur, can it become mutter? And this brisa is ostensibly teaching us that even though the milk was absorbed into the piece of meat, by mixing it, the halacha would be that it would be fine. Because obviously, based on this understanding, they are of the opinion that efshel asachtoi, if you could get the milk out by mixing this piece with all the other pieces, that would be good enough. Amalei Rav Achmed Diftel Rava, Mamai, what makes you say that is the basis of the machloikus? The efshel asachtoi pligi, that the machloikus is over the subject of efshel asachtoi, suggests the Gemara Dima efshel asachtoi divrei hakol will actually hold its usur. And therefore, once this piece of meat became usur because the milk was absorbed in it, that piece of meat can never become mutter. Furthermore, even if you mixed it, that would be the halacha. If you mixed it, but you didn't mix it right away, what will be the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon? Will be the machloikus of Bemina Kamefki. When two things are the same type, can they be bittel or cannot? Can they not be bittel? Rabbi Yehuda says that Din Beminoi is never bittel, and therefore the halacha is it's never bittel. And Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once that piece of meat became usur, it remains usur forever. And the Rabbanon's opinion is that Din Beminoi can become bittel. And says the Gemara, this is a machloikis we found in other places in Shas. Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion, Dama Mimba Minoi Loi Batal. And Rabbanon are of the opinion, the Mimba Minoi Batal, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, as long as that piece of meat doesn't give tam in the other pieces of meat, so now we'll have a machloikis. Everybody will agree at this point of the Gemara that the milk that fell on the piece of meat makes that piece of meat usur. And that piece of meat can never become mutter again, because we hold efshel asachtoi is usur. What is the question? Now you have this piece of meat, which is clearly usur, mixed up with all the other pieces of meat. So Yehuda says it doesn't make a difference how much other meat we have. The halacha will be that we have an insurmountable problem, because min b'minoi is not bottle. It's all pieces of meat. And Rabbanon hold that min b'minoi is bottle. And therefore, if the other pieces of meat are 60 times this piece of meat, we'll be fine, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we're not satisfied with this approach. If we'll say that Rabbanon in this price agree with Rabbi Yehuda's understanding on min b'minoi, that it's not bottle, and but the machloikis is, as we said a little earlier, if something became usur, if milk fell into meat, can that milk, so to speak, ever come out? So now we could understand, Hainan the Kamen Rebbe, near in Rabbi Yehuda Bahab, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda when you didn't mix the meat up, and near Din Rechamim, and I agree with the opinion of Chamim Baha when you did mix it immediately. Eli Amrit, if you're going to suggest, says the Gemara, that Efshel Shachtu Divrei Hakol Asur, that once it becomes Asur, it remains Asur forever. And the machloikis in this brice is strictly over the machloikis that we have throughout Shas. What is the halach by Mim B'minoi? Ask the Gemara. So when Rebbe's trying to reach a decision, ask the Gemara, Hai Nirin Divrei Rebbe V'Nirin Baalei. He should have said that I don't agree. I do agree with Rabbi Yehuda if you didn't mix it, and I don't agree with him when you did mix it. And the Chachamim are irrelevant, because The Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Yehuda that unless you mixed it, it won't be mutter. And he will hold that if you mixed it, it'll be fine. So here it seems that there's a machlokes. But as the Gemara is saying, the fact that Rebbe is being lenient and saying nirin in this case and not nirin in this case, he seems to say that it is the what is the critical factor? Did this piece of meat become usur, or did the piece of meat not become usur? But not what how we relate to this piece of meat to the other pieces of meat here. Clearly, Rebbe's consideration is at what point does it become usur or was it not become usur? Not related to min v'minoi. And says the Gemara Vesula Midi, I have no further comment, that this is clearly the machloikis. And indeed, the Gemara is saying that the machloikis here is, do we say efshel sochtoi or not? After we shecht an animal, there could be different places where there could be different situations that there's still milk left in the animal. And the question will be, what will be the status of that milk? The two places that we will speak about, the first place we'll speak about is the chal. The chal is the udder of the animal. And after you shecht the animal, you could find milk that was left in that udder. And the question is, if somebody wants to eat that chal meat, that udder meat, what does the halacha tell him? So it tells us the Mishnah chal, koirei, you cut it open, moitzi is chalboi, and you get out all the milk that was in that udder, that it should not be there when we're cooking the meat with that milk in it. However, says the Mishnah, loy karoi, if you didn't cut it open and you cook the chal that way with the milk in it, ain't oivalov, it's not considered a situation of bas b'cholov. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah, because this is milk that's considered cholov shchuta, the milk that was found in an animal that was slaughtered, and as far as the halacha of bas b'cholov, that's not considered the milk that the Torah says we have a problem of bas b'cholov. Because the Torah, when it speaks about the issa bas b'cholov, says lo yisvash gadi b'chalev imoy, and we learn from here that the milk of the mother, but not of the milk that's in the animal that was just slaughtered. Because once the animal was slaughtered, it obviously can no longer be a mother. It's not alive anymore. So the Torah, by saying b'chalev imoy, is saying that only milk of an animal that could be a mother is the milk that the Torah speaks about when it speaks about bas b'cholov, but not in this type of milk. However, the halacha is, as we're going to learn, that maybe midrabanan we have to be machmer. Halev. Now continues the Mishnah, speaking about the heart. And in the heart, there's an abundance of blood. And therefore, even though the normal way of expressing, getting the blood out of a piece of meat, as we're going to learn, is through melicha, salting it, slia, roasting it, here, melicha will not be enough. And teaches us the Mishnah Karai, we have to rip open the heart, or mitzi dama to get out the blood. However, loy karoi, if you did not cut open the heart and you ate the meat with the blood, meina oivalov, you're not over for the iser of dam. And the reason why you're not over the risk of dam is because you don't have a kazayis dam. And that's why Rashi in Masechta Krisis explains that the Mishnah is speaking about a case of the heart of a bird. And the heart of the bird doesn't have a kazayis of blood. But Rashi there actually says that if it was the heart of an animal, there's more blood, obviously, in the heart of an animal. It's a larger heart, and therefore, it would be chayiv for that blood. The Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that as far as the halacha of dam, the halacha is that doesn't make a difference, the heart doesn't make a difference, the bird or an animal, But the Gemara is explaining, Tosfos explains that it seems that our Mishnah is talking about the bird, but the same halacha would be as by both. The Rashi furthermore says that, as the Mishnah says, that if you did cook the heart without cutting open the heart and there was blood in it, the blood, the heart meat would not be usur. And the reason Rashi holds that the heart meat would not be usur is that since that meat, the heart meat, is very smooth, it's not belaya any of the blood. However, the halacha would be, says Rashi, that you would still have to cut open the heart before you eat the heart to remove the blood. Tel Ritva says that the halacha that we're speaking about is when we cook the heart by itself. But if you cook the heart together with other meat, so now we would have a bigger problem with that blood maybe entering the other pieces of meat, and that would have to be taken into consideration. That would be taken into consideration in deciding the kashrus of all the other meat, because all those other meat might be considered that it absorbed blood from that heart, and therefore is asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav. We learned in the Mishnah, when we spoke about the chal, so said the Mishnah, loy karoy, if you did not cut open the chal, ain't oilav. So now the question is, which the Gemara is focusing, how do we look at what the Mishnah said, when the Mishnah said, ain't oilav? The means that you're not over even, you're certainly not over nisa deraisa, but it's even mutter, even midrabanan, the halacha will be allowed to eat the chal. Because as we said before, the milk that's found in the chal is milk of a shchuta. And as we said when we learned the Mishnah, the milk of a shchuta is not considered in the category of milk as far as Hilchas Basar B'Cholov are concerned. And therefore, as long as this milk is in the chal, the halacha is that even with Rabbanon, it's not asur. L'chatchila, the Chacham said that that milk should be removed before the bishul, but not, but the evidence, if it wasn't, it would be completely mutter to eat that chal with the milk in it. The Rashi furthermore says that this kula that the Gemara is teaching us now is only, says Rashi, in the case where it was tzli, when we roasted the chal. But let's say that we didn't cut open. But let's say we cooked the chal without cutting it open, then the halacha would be that we would not be allowed to eat that chal, because what happens is that cooking it causes the milk to get absorbed into the meat of the chal, and therefore when that meat got absorbed into the meat of the chal, and therefore everybody would agree that it's usur. Only when you did roasting. So what happened here is that whatever milk came out because you roasted this chal, piece of meat of chal, it goes out and it doesn't get reabsorbed in the meat. The Tosfos points out, so it turns out, and this is based on what Rashi says, Tosfos says, if you cook the chal without cutting it open and there wasn't 60 times the chal, then the halacha is that that chal will be usur. If in the water that you cook the chal, the 60 times water versus the chal, and there's no other pieces of meat here, then the halacha will be that it will be mutter, because the milk that comes out becomes bottle in the mayim. If there were other pieces of meat in that pot, even if the water has 60 times the chal, then we have to be concerned that the meat, the tam went from one to the other. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. This is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Rabbeinu Tam's approach to the Gemara is actually different. Rabbeinu Tam's approach to this Gemara is that the halacha that we're learning here is applicable both by Tzli and by Bishul. Ask the Gemara, for nan t'nan. So here, according to the version we just learned, this is perfectly acceptable. Ask the Gemara, do we learn in the Mishnah? Eina oivalov. Doesn't that seem to mean that me'ever hu deloy over, that you're not over an issa deraisa when you eat the, when you cooked the chal without cutting it open? Hasur ikka. But mederabonon, you're not allowed to eat this that way. And so isn't that the wording of the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara, but then the issur nami lika. Actually, there's no issur at all. Just what? Vayde the boy Mishnah sefer. As we continue, says the Gemara, as we continue learning the Mishnah, and as we continue learning the Mishnah says, "Alev kari moitzis damai." The heart also has to be cut open to get the blood out. Loi kari ena avilov, says the Gemara. Hasam, when we speak about the heart, mevahu deloyava sura ika. There, everybody will agree that when we speak about the heart, if you didn't cut it open, the halacha will be that you're over Issa d'Rabbanan. So in order to remain consistent in the language, Tani Nami Reisha ain't over lof, but actually the halacha of the Reisha and the Sefer are very different. Says the Gemara, Lema Masayle. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that seems to support what Rav just said. The Braisa says, a Kchal Kairoi, when we have a Kchal, we should cut it open a Maitzi Eschal Boi and remove the milk. Loi Kairoi, if you did not do so, ain't over love. You're not over. Halev kairoi, the same. The heart should be cut open before the malicha to remove the blood. Maitzi dama loy kara kairo lach b'shulai. Cut it open after you cook it. Umutter, and you'll be allowed to eat that heart. This is machloikus rishonim. Why? According to Rashi. Since, as we said when we learned the Mishnah, since the heart meat is considered very smooth, so even though it was cooked with the blood in the heart, the halacha tells us that b'di'evid, it didn't absorb any of that blood. According to the Tosfos, Tosfos explains, here, Tosfos takes the opposite approach of Rashi. Tosfos is not satisfied to accept that the heart doesn't absorb. Tosfos says the heart is meat and meat absorbs. But here, Tosfos says, the Gemara is speaking about a case that this heart was not cooked, but rather this heart was roasted. Therefore, says Tosfos, since the heart was roasted and not cooked, therefore, the halacha will be lenient if you cut it open after you did the tzliya. Continues the Mara, Eina Oivalov, Halev Karei Maitse, Damavalov, Karei Lacha Bishal Mutar. Lev, so what do we see from here? That the heart is where the Kriya is essential. Av Chal, we speak about the Chal, Loi Bei Kriya, that even if you didn't cut it open, you would be allowed to eat the Chal, and you cooked it with the milk in it, you would be allowed to eat it. Says the Mara, who says to learn that way, Pshat in the Braisa? Perhaps, suggests the Gemara, Dilma, the way to learn Pshat in the Braisa is Lev, who the Sagla b'Kriya. By the heart, Kriya will be enough. If you do the Kriya, and as we learned before, even if you did the Kriya after you did the cooking, Av Chal, the Sagla b'Kriya. Maybe what the Braisa means to say is that it won't be, Kriya won't be enough. And once it absorbed the milk, you can never eat that Chal. Vikadamri, now says the Gemara, there's a different version. Amar Rav Zeira Marav, that when we learn about the Chal, that Loi Kara Eina Oivalov, it means you're not Oiva Medaraisa, but this version actually will agree that it is Osu Medarabonim. So according to the first version, if you didn't cut it open, you could eat it without even violating an Issa Derabonim. According to this version, if you didn't cut it open, you would be Oiva an Issa Derabonim if you were to eat it. And the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah seems to support this version, because the Mishnah said, Loi Kara Eina Oivalov. What does the Mishnah seemingly mean to say? Mevahu Deloi Over, you're not over Haysur Ika, but there is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, this is not a compelling Raya. But then with the Issur Nami Lika, we can make an argument that there isn't even Issa D'Rabbanan. Just what? Vayde the boiler Mr. Sefer. Since in the Sefer we're going to learn how Lev Kara Mitzvah Damai, but a heart you have to do to remove the blood. And like Kara, Ainoivalov. And if you didn't do so, you don't get an Issa deraisa. Hossam, it's clear, Mevu deloyavar, there is no Issa deraisa. However, Issur ikkada is a Issa derabbanan. So therefore, the Mishnah, to remain consistent in its language, Taninam Reisha Ainoivalov, but actually the halacha is going to be very different in the Reisha and the Sefer. In the Reisha, there won't even be an Issa derabbanan. In the Sefer, there will be an Issa derabbanan. Toshma, says the Gemara, a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Hachal, when we speak about Chal, the udder, Kairoi, we cut it open in Moitzi Chalboi, and we remove the milk. Loi Kara, if you did not do so, Aina Ivalov, it's not considered a situation of Bas B'cholov. Halev Kari, the lave has to be cut open before the Malika to take out the dam, Moitzi Dama. Loi Kara, if you didn't cut it open before the Malika and before the cooking, a mutter, and it will be allowed to be eaten. Says the Gemara, doesn't this price mean to teach us the left who the boy kriya? The heart requires kriya, and if you didn't do it at the beginning, do it later. Chal, if you didn't do it at the beginning, you don't have to do it again. Loi boy kriya. So isn't that a support of the first version that we're learning, not like the second version? Says the Gemara, it's not necessary support. Because Dilma, Lev hu desagle by the kriya. By a heart, kriya, what the Braisa means to say is that by a heart, kriya will be satisfactory. If you didn't do it at the beginning, do it later. Chal, if you didn't tear it open at the beginning, loy sagle by kriya, later it's going to be too late. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kalishna kam de Rav, but there's a Braisa that clearly indicates like the first version that we had in Rav. The Braisa says, Chal, if you cook the chal while the milk of the chal was still in it, mutter. Keva, but you have the mother, you have the stomach of a calf that after the shechita, you find milk that the calf had suckled from its mother. Over that, if you bishla b'chalba, and then you cook the calf when that milk remains in its stomach, usur. Ask the Braisa itself, Ma hefresh ben zeh lazeh, what's the difference between the milk in the udder versus the milk in the stomach? Says the Gemara, zeh, the milk in the stomach, kanas me'ov, it went out from the mother when the baby nursed from it while they were still alive. So that's considered full-fledged milk. Therefore, since it's considered full-fledged milk, if you now cook the meat in that milk, that's real bas b'cholov. However, the meat that's in the chal, as we've been learning throughout our shir, is not considered real milk. And konos b'meyav, it's like we've been calling it throughout our shir, cholav shchuta. And therefore, since it's considered cholav shchuta, the halacha is completely different. And just, if you should cut it open to remove that milk, but if you didn't, and you cook the chal in that milk, then it would be mutter to eat that milk. So we speak about opening up the chal, tearing the chal to get out the milk. So ask the Braisa case of Kari exactly as that done. Amar Yehuda, Kari Shesiv Erev, you cut it both horizontally and vertically, V'tocha B'Kaiso, and then you squeeze it in against the wall, and once you squeeze it in against the wall, that's how any remaining milk will come out. And the Miri says, that's pshat, when the Mishnah said, Umaitzi is chalboi. The Mishnah added the word, Umaitzi is chalboi. What did the Mishnah mean to say with those words? That you just don't do kriya alone, cutting it open. You also have to squeeze it against the wall to get everything out. Amalei Rabbi Lezer l'shamai. Says the one Rabbi Lezer said to his assistant, Krali, cut open the chal before you roast it, v'anei echol, and I will be able to eat from it. Ask the Gemara, what was Rabbi Lazar teaching him that isn't explicit in the Mishnah? Amalei Rabbi Lazar l'shamai, karali v'anei echol, and ask the Gemara immediately, what was he saying that isn't clear in the Mishnah? Misnisen he, answers the Gemara, ha'kamashmal, that he was teaching us, deloi bein and shesi v'erev, that you don't have to have a cut that's both horizontal and vertical, and you don't also have to have that you squeeze it against the wall. Anything that you do to remove the blood, to remove the milk, will be adequate. Says the Gemara, Amalei Yalta l'Rav Nachman. The wife of Rav Nachman was Yalta, and she was the daughter of the Nasi of the Rosh Goyla. Rav Nachman, her husband, was the Abezdin, and Rashi Masech the Gittin says she was a distinguished woman on her own right. And Tosfos explains in Masech the Beya, because she had this very distinguished family, that's why she was considered so important. Says the Gemara, Amla Yatla Rav Nachman, Michti. She makes an observation. Called Asalan Rachmana, anything that the Torah says we may not have, Sharlan Kavasei, there is a corresponding thing, as the Gemara will give us a number of examples that are mutter. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara based on a famous Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says that a person shouldn't say, I don't want to eat chazir, I don't want to eat pig, I don't want to eat something that's not kosher. Efshi, I want to eat it, El Shatayr Asra, the Torah says I might not. And what the Gemara means, and that's what Yalta meant to teach us. We are not to look at the machals asuris as they're unhealthy, they're not tasty. They could be very tasty. It could be a taste that's very appealing. And in fact, the Torah made it mutter under certain circumstances. Just the Torah also said that under these situations, you're not allowed to, under these situations, then you're not allowed to eat, and under these circumstances, you may. And therefore, he said, called Asr Rachmana, whatever the Torah said is Asr, he gave us a corresponding situation that it's mutter. And the Gemara says, Asr on Adam, we're not allowed to eat blood, of course, as we learned in our shir, but Shar on a Kavda, the loch is that we're allowed to eat liver. And as we often discuss and will discuss, that the halacha is that liver is considered blood. Therefore, since liver is blood, therefore we know that to make liver kosher, to remove the blood, we have to do very significant act of roasting it. So, because it recommends it's blood. The Ben Yoyada asks, why does the Gemara have to bring a raya from the liver? He could have just said that we're allowed to eat the blood of fish and of grasshopper. So there's two answers. One answer is that we're actually not allowed to eat the blood of fish unless we have a simen, because of Maris Ayin. The Gemara says Masech the Krisis. Another answer he suggests is that we're trying to show that we have a case that we could eat blood of an animal, and that is by the covet. Nida, the Torah says that if a woman has a period, the halach is we're not allowed to have relation with her. But we also know the Torah says that a woman has dam tayr. We often speak about this halacham. We also say that the halacha is, we don't act this way, I have to emphasize that, but the halacha is that the Torah says if a woman has a baby boy, for the first 7 days, the halacha is that no matter what, she's tamei, and then for the next 14 days, she's tahor, the next 33 days, I'm sorry, she's tahor no matter what. And when she has a girl, for the first 14 days, she's tamei no matter what, and then for the next 66 days, she's tar. So here we have a woman who's expressing dam, but she could still be mutter to her husband. Another question they ask is that the Torah, midaraisa dam pesulim, the dam that comes out from a woman when she's a psula is not dam tamei. So why wasn't that answer offered? So some say the Gemara could have offered that teretz, and some suggest that the Gemara didn't offer that teretz because the Gemara actually, this was already written in a time where they were makbid that dam psulim atame. The Pnei Menachem asked, when we speak about dam that's mutter, midaraisa dam mevushal, dam that's cooked is mutter. So why don't we say that as an example of dam that's mutter? So he answered, we're trying to bring an example of dam that wasn't cooked. The dam of a kavod is cooked, but this of the dam is not cooked. I saw Rav Nevin Sal Shlita asks, why didn't the Gemara say that the Torah said that the Gid HaNosha, we spent so much time discussing this, that the Gid HaNosha is Osir, and the Gemara doesn't give us an example of where the Gid HaNosha is Mutter, says Rav Nevin Sal, because we learned that the Gid HaNosha ain't Begid HaNos and Tam. When we're learning in our Gemara that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a corresponding case of Heter, it's only in cases where there, it has a good taste, and the Torah is not depriving us of that good taste. But Gid HaNosha, there's no tam. The Rav Shaul Salanta says, so why does the Torah says we have to live with Amunah? What is the life with Adam and Amunah? Says the Gemara, says Rav Shaul Salanta, a Jew can't just say that I have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also have to do our own hashtadlis. The Shabina Rav used to say, the Torah says that we're not allowed to speak Dvarim B'Teilim. But as much as the Torah says that we may not speak Dvarim B'Teilim, on the contrary, the Torah says that the Dibar Tabam, that we should speak Divrei Torah. She said further, the Torah says, Chela Behema, the Chela of a Behema, as we've learned many times, is Asur, but the Chela of a Chaya is Mutter. Chazir, we know, of course, we may not have pork, but the Halacha is Moicha de Shibutai, that's the head of a type of a fish, that is a type of a fish that is tastes like Chazir, and it's Mutter. So there's a very interesting discussion that some discuss here, is the chazir, there's some that quote a medrash, that the chazir, why is it called chazir? Because it's going to be mutter at one time. Chazir, it's going to become mutter. This Gemara, they say, it's a very difficult medrash, it's hard to find this medrash, and there are those that suggest that this Gemara proves that medrash is wrong. Because if the Gemara indeed means to say that the chazir will one time be mutter, so then Gemara could say that the chazir itself will become mutter. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is an indication that the chazir will never be mutter. Gerusa, there's a type of a non-kosher bird called gerusa, but the lishna, the kavra, is a certain type of fish that tastes like that fish. Ashes ish, we may not have relations with an ashes ish. Grusha b'chaya bala. If you have a woman whose husband divorced her, so that woman is somewhat like an Eshes Ish. Her husband can never take her back if she gets remarried, but you can marry her. Eshes Ach, you can never marry your brother's wife, but if she's Yavama, you can marry her. Kutis, we're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman, but Yefas Tayr, the Torah in the beginning Parashat Kisetze speaks about Yefas Tayr, even though she's not Jewish, when you could have relations with her, the Torah gives a whole procedure, a machlokes if you have to do the procedure first or afterwards. You fast, being a lamecha bisa b'chalva, if somebody wants to eat basa b'chalav, says the Gemara, amalei Rav Nachman l'tapche, so Rav Nachman would tell the butchers, if you have a person that's desperate to eat basa b'chalav, Zerikul Chachli, as we're learning in our shir, he could eat the chal. The truth is, some Rishonim point out, as we spoke about at the beginning of this perek, we could eat basa oif b'chalav, because we learned that there are opinions that actually hold that there's no problem of basa b'oif, that there's no problem of basa b'chalav by oif. But again, they suggest that the Gemara didn't want to give that example. The Gemara didn't want to give that example because the Gemara only wanted to give examples that are with meat, not with poultry. Says the Gemara, V'nantnan. So ask the Gemara, how could you suggest that's what you should do? You should eat the chal But we learned, asked the Gemara in our Mishnah, for Natanan, have we not learned in our Mishnah that what you're supposed to do is kairoi, says the Gemara, that you're supposed to cut it open, and otherwise you should not eat the chal. And says the Gemara, who would the Mishnah speak about lakteir when you want to cook it? Vaktani, but asked the Gemara, the Bryce says, chal shabishta b'chal v'mutter. And here it's talking about roasting. And doesn't it mean, bishloi means you did it, but l'chatchila you ought not to do it. The evidence l'chatchila loy. Answer the Gemara, who I did not feel l'chatchila. Actually, the halacha is you're allowed to do it even l'chatchila. Just either the kabbal missed the sefer. Since in the sefer we spoke about the keva, the stomach of the calf, shabish l'chalba also, that there, as we learned, that that's considered full-fledged milk. And therefore, since we learned that it's considered full-fledged milk, the Eved, feel the Eved Namiloi, that even by the Eved, we can't have that. If the stomach was cooked with the milk in it, you can never eat it. So that's why we used a consistent language of Tani Nami Reisha Bishla, but actually by the Chal, the Gemara is saying, if you cooked it without cutting it open, you're allowed to eat it even L'chatchila. So our Gemara spoke about various examples of foods that are usur, but there are examples of how those foods are mutter. And this opens up a very important, interesting discussion. How does the halacha look at taking foods that are kosher, using only kosher ingredients, but what we're trying to accomplish is give them the taste of something that's not kosher, non-kosher fish, non-kosher meat, pork. What will be the halacha? The chidah is of the opinion that it's 100% mutter, and our Gemara is the best raya that it's 100% mutter, because our Gemara keeps on speaking about all these different foods that are made with a kosher version. And the Chidah's approach is used to answer a question that many discuss. What is the halacha? And we know that the Medrash says that the man tasted like anything you wanted it to taste. So what happens if somebody's going to eat man and he wanted it to taste like something non-kosher? Is that permissible or not? And based on the Gemara, an argument can be made that it's permissible. Because as long as it's permissible food, that it's fine. The Rabbi Yashiv disagreed. And Rabbi Yashiv disagreed and said that you should not make a food deliberately that is a non-kosher food, just making it the kosher version. What is Rabbi Yashiv going to do with our Gemara? So he says that Rabbi Yashiv explains that our Gemara is only here to teach us that we shouldn't be so concerned that we don't have the opportunity to eat something that's usur. You're so anxious to eat something that usur, the Torah shows us that I'll give you some version of something that's usur and that you will be allowed to eat it. But not, says Rabbi Yashiv, did the Torah mean to tell us that that's something that we should be able, that we should do all the time. Ramosha seems to disagree, and Ramosha's opinion is that once we see in our Gemara that the Gemara is taking the approach, and as we explained when we started this piece of Gemara, that that's exactly what the Torah was trying to accomplish. The Torah was trying to give us versions of kosher and non-kosher that we should say it's not the taste that is what's driving us to eat or not eat. So therefore, Ramosha felt that if you want to make limitations, you may. Of course, there are considerations of Maris Ayin that have to always be taken into consideration as well.